Okay, we are up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Aleph, as we near the end of the Sefer, Perek Chaf Aleph, the last four prakim. There are a number of stories that are mentioned here. We'll focus on this Perek that might not have taken place exactly chronologically in the place where it is placed in the Navi. The Abarbanel, throughout his commentary, says everything's exactly in order, everything is where it's supposed to be. We say there is Muktam Mu'uchar B'Navi, unless you're forced to say otherwise. But not everyone agrees. But either way, what happens in this parak? Vayivakesh David espnei Hashem. David is suffering along with Klal Yisrael for 3 years for under a famine, a drought, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, what is the problem? Why is there such a drought? He assumes it's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says there are some problems related to Shaul, related to punishing Shaul's descendants, relating back to Nov. We'll get to some of the other details. Al Beis Adamim, Asher Hamas Asa Givonim. He killed the Givonim. We don't have a record that he killed the Givonim explicitly in the text. We'll have to talk about exactly what the chait was related to the Givonim, but David recognizes, after being told by the Urim V'Tumim that is the chait, that he must do something. So he calls to the king of the Givonim, and the Navi describes how they are not part of Am Yisrael. They have different character to them. And he asks, so what can we do? What can we do to make it up to you? Can we pay you? Can we do something? And they said, we don't want money. We don't want anything. We just want souls. We want people. I mean, just like he killed us, we want descendants of Shaul's to kill. And they say, we want seven of Shaul's descendants in order to kill, to hang, and that will be a revenge, and that will be what makes us calm, and then you'll be able to merit the drought and the famine stopping. So the David HaMelech agrees, Ani Atein, and David gives seven of the descendants of Shaul, not Mipiboshes, but seven of the other descendants, and Rachmana Litzlan, they are killed, and they are hanged by the Givonim, who show no rachmim at all. They show total lack of any type of feeling, as we're going to talk about based on the Gemara. They don't have any rachmanus or baishonus, and they just act brazenly, and they kill, and they leave the bodies up for months. The simple interpretation of the psukim, and it was told to David that the mother of two of the victims was there guarding them for months. So right after the rainy season started, which was 6 months later, Pashtus, he takes the bones down, and he also takes the bones of Shaul and Yehonasan, who have been in Yavish Gilad all this time, and he buries all of them in the plot of Kish, the plot of Shaul's family, and then the drought and the famine stops. That is the main crux of the parak. The end of the parak discusses a couple of more wars that were fought. Again, when were these wars? They were put all here together, three of them against the Plishtim, against the giants, right? Giants that David HaMelech fought with. One of them mentions that Elchanan fought with Goliath. Was it the same Goliath? In any case, all these four battles were won by David HaMelech and by Am Yisrael under the with the Malchus based David and the armies of David HaMelech. That's how the parak ends. Again, a couple of battles that were staged, but again, not exactly sure when they took place. Now let's get back to the beginning of our parak. Vayihi Ra'av B'yimei David. So there was a famine in the days of David. When did this take place? So in the Pirkei Derabbi Elazar tells us it was the beginning of his Malchus. Towards the beginning of David HaMelech's Malchus, soon after he took over. But if you look in Rashi and Yevamos and Daf Ayin Tes, where this story is discussed at length, as we'll be quoting a lot from the story and the Gemara from there, it took place in his 30th year. So it basically took place before the revolt of Avshalom, before Sheva ben Bichri, right? Not where it is situated in the text. The Abarbanel throughout says, no, Yei Seder, this took place right after the previous story. Vayi Rabbi Mei David, so it was for 3 years, Shana Acharei Shana, year after year. Vayivakesh David is Panei Hashem. And David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is going on? What is Panei Hashem? The Mesudas David says he asked the Urim Tumim. Why didn't he ask the first year? Right, he waited 3 years, so the Gemara and the Rishonim say he did ask. He did ask throughout the years. The Radak here quotes a lengthy explanation of all the issues in the parak from Rav Saad Yagon, and Rav Saad Yagon says that he asked year after year. The first year he didn't ask because he thought, Mikrehu, Derech HaOlam, sometimes you have a dry year. The second year he thought maybe it's because of Pesal Micha, which makes us think that it was earlier in the in history, which is related to Avodah Zarah, and therefore he was Mavar all the Avodah Zarah, and it still didn't go away. Ksheyarah B'shana Shlishis, once it was the third year, he knew it was because of some other sin, and therefore he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the Gemara has a different listing of the requests of David HaMelech. Again, this is all Ayin Chesem and Beis, Ayin Tesem and Aleph in Yevamis, where this is explained. The Gemara says, Shana Rishona Amar Lohem Shema Ovdei Avodas Kochavim Yishbachem. Maybe there's Avodah Zarah amongst you, because that's what the pasuk says in Shema. V'yavatem lohem achirim v'shtachavisem lohem v'ataras ha-shamayim lo yematar badku v'lo matzu. But he didn't find any problems with Avodah Zarah. Shni amar lohem, he says, Shema Ovri Averi Yishbachem. Maybe there's a problem of Znus. Maybe there's a problem of Gili Arayis. No, Bach Tkuvala Matsu. Shlishis Amar Lohem, the third year, he says, Shema Postgate Staka Barabim Yishbachem. They know, maybe there are people that are promising to give staka and they're not giving. And, because again, there's psukim that relate to that. Bach Tkuvala Matsu. So there's none. So he says, if there's no Avera by you, the Avera must be by me. Matsu Amar Ein Hadavar Tali Elabi. Right? This is David HaMelech who realizes it's got to be for some reason. So if he can't find the Avera amongst others, he looks within himself. Miyad Vayivakesh David is Pnei Hashem. That's what our pasuk says. David asked Pnei Hashem. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Musar Nevi'im says here, you're not supposed to ask the Urim Tumim to a question that you can get the answer yourself. And that's why, first of all, David HaMelech goes to all of the different choices that he has to figure out what the Avera was. Only after he exhausts all the other options does the Pasuk then tell us that he went to the Urim V'Tumim. So what is Hashem's answer? Vayomer Hashem, El Shaul ve'El Beis Hadamim. Two things. Why is there a famine? Because of Shaul and because of Beis Hadamim. Al Asher Hemes as HaGivonim, that he killed the Givonim. What does this mean? So the Gemara tells us, Rashi quotes it here, there are two reasons. Al Shaul, what El Shaul, what does that mean? That Bnei Yisrael weren't maspid Shaul properly. When he died at the end of the war, yes, there were some things about him. He obviously had to be punished, and he did averes in his lifetime, which he was getting punished for. But still, he was the first king of Israel, and he should have gotten more hespedim, and not just buried after he was found by Yavish Gilad. Right? David HaMelech gave a beautiful hesped for him, but it seems like that it wasn't enough. Maybe he should have made all of Klal Yisrael give more hespedim. So El Shaul, number one, that Shaul was not eulogized properly. That's why there is a famine. But number two is that Shaul HaMelech needs to be punished and his family because of what he did to the Givonim. So even before we get to what that detail is, it's fascinating. The Bali Musar point out, the Ber Moshe writes about this and others, that David Shaul did something terrible here. Right? He's being punished for killing the Givonim, for killing Nov, whatever the Pshat is, as we'll talk about in a minute. But that isn't Mevatel, the good that Shaul was, and the good that he should have gotten from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Says the Ber Moshe, Bad Bebad, imatfia al Mosam Shaul Givonim. With the exact same tfiyah, at the exact same time that Shaul is being held accountable, lo nishkach b'shalo nispa ka'alacha. That's the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Nothing is batel. Everything is very exacting. U'benoik sheba olam, kshish tfiyah la'adam. Usually when there's a tfiyah on a person, hatoveya atzmo bevadai lo yomar alav schus. When somebody is a defendant, you don't talk about the great things about them because you just see what's the focus. Amnam etzel Hashem Yisbarach b'asher mishpato sham pa'alo daika. B'makom she'danim es ha'adam sham maskirim po'el tzidkaso. Ki mishpate Hashem emes sadku yachtav ein stira b'nei mishpatim. Shaul is the attacker and he's the victim. Both. And that's what we have to learn, says the Ber Moshe. The Yilmat Adam Das V'Yilach B'Darko Shalakadosh Baruch Hu V'Lokinoik Sheba Olam K'she'echad Asa Yisar Maisa Rakenegdo. Somebody did something wrong, I forget all the good things that he did to me. No! I have to, whatever he did wrong, he did wrong. Whatever he did good, I did good. Right? Rashi quotes this from Chazal and Parshas Kiseitse. Right? The Mitzrayim. Right? We can't be, the Mitzrayim, we have to obviously remember what they did to us. But they also gave us Achsanya. They gave us a couple of years to live there and provided food and shelter, even though they threw our babies into the river. But it's not batel. That's exactly the message here. But what exactly did Shaul do? The Pasuk says that he killed the Givonim. It's not recorded in the text that he killed the Givonim. So what did he do? So a couple of pshatim, just to mention three. And that is number one, the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Rashi quotes it here, Rav Sadigan quotes it here, that when Shaul massacred the city of Nov, there were also Givonim there, right, from the other nations that were killed as well. Maybe seven Givonim that were killed. And though the rest of Am Yisrael were able to be Mochel Shaul after he got the punishment that he got, the Givonim weren't ready to be Mochel. And therefore, he killed Givonim, and he's being held responsible. And the children that were taken, according to many Mefarshim here, they were the killers. Especially if this story happened much, much earlier. So they were the ones that were killed. They were Chayav Misa. And that's why, as we'll see later, that how David chose which seven were going to be picked. Number one, Chazal tell us that it was really indirect. Indirect. The Givonim, if you remember, they tricked Yeshua, but Yeshua said, I'm going to keep the oath and the bris that the covenant that we made with them, even though they tricked me. But he was gozer that they should be servants, so they were serving Nov. But Nov supplied them with food and water and basic necessities. Once Nov was killed out, so they basically had nobody to work for, and they were starving. And Shaul HaMelech, besides wiping out Nov, which he was punished for, he also caused the Givonim to die in that way, and therefore he was punished. That's what the Gemara, the pasuk here means. Asher Hamas is a Givonim. The Radak and the Malbim expands on this and says, no, maybe the problem was not just specifically it was a collateral damage by Nov, but there was a time. It's not recorded in Navi, but it's a suggestion of the Radak and the Malbim that the Rav Sadia Gaon, that Shaul HaMelech had enough. Yeshua kept his word to the Givonim, but Shaul says they lied to us. They're part of the seven nations, and he started annihilating them and started pushing them out and wiping them out, and he killed a lot of them. And even though he didn't finish the job and complete, says the Malbim, he created a society which looked down upon the Givonim. They were a lower class. They were always insulted. They were always tormented. And that's what's going on here, and that's why they didn't want to take anything else until Shaul HaMelech and his descendants, who started this whole lower class system, were punished. So the three ideas, what it means here that he killed the Givonim. So he's told this by Hashem. Vayikra HaMelech LeGivonim. So David HaMelech calls to the Givonim. Vayomer Alem, and he says to them, does not say what he said to them. Pashtus, what does it mean? He's talking to them, just trying to appease them without taking a specific punishment of Shaul's children. Vahagivonim, and the pasuk, as if the narrator is talking, adds in, Lo mi b'nei Yisrael hema. They were not from b'nei Yisrael, ki imi yeser ha'emori. U'b'nei Yisrael nishvulam, they were not Jewish, they came from the Emori, and b'nei Yisrael swore to them. Vayavakei Shaul ha'kosam, and David tried to smite them. This is where the Radak and the Malbim get it from. It says here, he tried to kill them, v'kanosel b'nei Yisrael v'yuda, throughout the history. Again, that's the pasuk that is referred to. Why is this pasuk stuck in here that they weren't Jewish? So the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes, famous line that David HaMelech, when he sees that they don't take no for an answer and they only take Shaul's descendants to kill, David HaMelech says, based on Yeshua and adding on to what Yeshua did, that these people have to stay out of Am Yisrael, right? They can't marry in. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, what's the Issa Daraisa, what's the Issa Darabanan? We're not allowed to marry them Daraisa or Darabanan, but either way, David HaMelech made them Chot Ve'ezem V'Shoah V'Imayim, even not in the times of the Mikdash. If you look throughout, if you look in the Rambam, if you look in the Gemara, Yeshua ben Nun was gozer on them, as the Ayin Tesamon Aleph at the bottom. Yeshua was gozer on them, and then David added on, not only Bizman Mikdash, even Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because they had such midos that were so antithetical to Yahadus. What do you mean? After this story, the Gemara describes Shlosha Simanim Yishbu Mazu. There are three Simanim about the Jews. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Vegomli Chasadim. Based on Psukim, we're compassionate. We are meek. And we are Gomel Chesed. And these nations are not. They were totally not. And that's why they're not allowed to marry into Am Yisrael, right, the abbreviation, the Rashi Deva says Chaver. That's the way to remember the three. Chaver is Chasadim, Baishanim, Rachmanim. And this is where, because of this story, is where Chazal say that about Am Yisrael and how we're so different from the Givonim. Vayomer David al Givonim. So David sees that they're not taking no for an answer. So David asks them, Ma e'aseh lachem, what can I do for you? Ubama chaper, what can we get kapara? We need to end this drought. Ubarach was nachlas Hashem. And after that, we will be able to get a bracha. Vayomru la Givonim, ein la nukas of Izav, im shavim beso. There, we have nothing. If you look in the Kri and the Ksiv here, the Ksiv is Li, and the Kri is Lanu. You read as Lanu, but it says Li. So the Radak quotes, the Medrash, that Rashi quotes, that David HaMelech went to each and every one of them, trying to like garner up some support. I'll give you money, I'll give you money, I'll give you money. So they each said, we don't want any money. Ve'lanu Ishlam Isbi Yisrael. And there's no one else that we're interested in, except for Shaul's family. And they said to the king, Ha'ish Asher Kilanu, Vasher Dima Lanu, Nishmadnu, Meis Yaseh B'chok V'Yisrael. The man that wanted to annihilate us from the land. This is where the Radak and the Malbim get it from, because the Psukim are referring to Shaul in this way. Yutan lanu shiva anashim ibanav. Give us seven men from his children, v'hokanum l'ashem, v'givat Shaul b'chir Hashem. And we'll hang him near Givat Shaul. People will realize why they are being hanged. Why they dafke ask for seven? Maybe there were seven people killed in Nov. Maybe it's a parallel, like that Yerushalmi said. Or maybe they knew that there were eight left, but David would never let Mephibosheth go. So they asked, Tafasta Meruba lo tafasta. So that's why they asked for seven. Vayomer HaMelech. Right, you see there's a break. Fascinating. There's a break in the text. After the question, maybe David HaMelech is having a hard time dealing with the request. Right, I didn't see a Ha'ara about this, but it's seemingly like we had earlier when David HaMelech admitted that he did something wrong after David and Bathsheba, there was also a break in the text. So there's a break here, in the middle of the pasuk, Vayomer HaMelech Ne'atein. And then the king says, okay, I'm going to give it. Vayachvel HaMelech, David HaMelech, though, had Rachmanis on Mephibosheth, Ben Yonasan, Ben Shaul. On the promise that he had made to Yonasan and to Shaul, he did not send Mephibosheth. The Mepharshim say, what does that mean? He's showing favoritism? The answer is no. The Gemara tells us, how were the seven chosen? Hashem, David HaMelech passed them in front of Hashem. What does that mean? He passed them in front of the Urim Metumim. And the Urim Metumim were the ones that chose. Ha'avirim lefnei Aron, kol she'aron kolto, but lemisa, kol she'ein aron kolto, l'chayim. Right, that's what the Gemara says. And so David davened that Mephibosheth shouldn't be chosen. That's what he did. He didn't show favoritism. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what David was davening for. Again, the Radak quotes that the ones that were chosen were the ones that were old and Mephibosheth was younger. These were seven, it could very well be, that participated in the massacre of Nov. And that's why it's they're Chayiv Misa still. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Misa B'dei Shamayim basically. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them who's going to die. So what happens, David takes them, he does not, obviously, chas v'shalom, kill them himself. Vayikach HaMelech, Hashnei b'nei Ritzpa bas Aisha yoldu l'shol. Es harmonious, Mephibo, he takes all of these seven vayitneim, and it says some of them were the sons of Michal. Chazal say it was really Meirav, but Michal just raised them. Vayitneim b'yada giv'onim. Vayokiyum bahar l'fnei Hashem, and they hang them. Vayiplu shvatam yachad, all seven of them were hung. When b'yimei ksir barishonim, b'tchilas ksir saorim, in the springtime, the beginning of the harvest, ksir saorim. And what happens? Vatikach Ritzpah bas Ayas asak. Ritzpah sets up some type of a shelter right near where they're hanging, because it seems like they're not coming down. Vatateyalo alatsur mitchilas ksir anitach mayim alem and hashamayim. From the beginning of the ksir until water starts coming down from heaven. And she guarded them. So the Chazal understand that this was really 6 months they were hanging. And she stayed there the whole time. For the beginning of the season of the of spring, until water kept coming down. Why Dafka until water kept coming down? The Radak suggests, because maybe Dafka HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing that you didn't have water because of this, but now you can take them down because now I'm going to let it rain. The Radak says it started drizzling, and then they were able to take them down and bury them, and then it rained even more. How? The question is, as Rashi, as Chazal, there's an Issa D'Oraisa to leave someone up on a tree, even one in somebody's Chayav Misas Bezdin, L'Solin Niflaso. This is about Talin. So the Gemara says in Yevamis, Rashi quotes it, Mutav Te'aker Os Achas Minatorah V'Yizkadei Shem Shamayim Befarhesa. It's better to violate an Isser, but if there's a Kiddush Hashem, unbelievable. What's the Kiddush Hashem? Because people, the Ovren V'Shaven, used to see these people hanging. They said, who are those? They're the children of the previous king who massacred a city. Wow! Even their own, even people who are the royalty, they don't show favoritism if they're deserving of a punishment. Wow, what an amazing religion. And the Gemara says, in Yevamis, there are 150,000 people converted during those 6 months. Right? Ein lecha uma ru'uya lidavik ba ku'uma zu. And that is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. The Ramban, shot number two, says, you know why they didn't take it down? Because it wasn't in their control. Wasn't that Bezdin put him to death? Says the Ramban in Parshas Kisaitse, V'yal daiti ha'inyan b'bnei shol she'hamuka'im b'bnei shalo hayu tzluyim b'bezdin shal Yisrael. V'lo miyad Yisrael klal. It wasn't that the B'nei Yisrael did it. Avol David natzanam l'givonim l'asos b'hem kirtzonam. Vehemasher hokiyum. Velo ratzu lekavram lefarsim nikmasa mehem. Vanisharim yishmu v'yirod. They did it. The Negevonim did it. So then the regular Isser does not apply to Am Yisrael in terms of Lo Salin Nivlaso. The Abarbanel, and it could be that it's Meduyik in the text, classic Abarbanel, he says they weren't there for 6 months. What did it say? They were there from the beginning of the springtime until water came down from heaven. Well, where else does water come down from? Obviously it came down from heaven, right? And why doesn't it just say the rainy season to be parallel? This must be what his diuk is. Why doesn't it say the springtime to the rainy season? It just says until water started coming down. Says the Rabbanel, no. It was Bederech Nes. A couple days later, it started raining. And that's how they knew that it was okay to take them time and the drought was over. It wasn't months later. No, it was a couple days. And Bederech Nes, it started raining, even though it was the springtime. One final pshat. Again, we have four already. We have the Kiddush Hashem pshat, that it was there for 6 months. And we have the the Ramban, that it wasn't in their control. We have the Barbanel, there was a couple of days. The Rambam. The Rambam quotes the halacha, and the Mefarshim, Chaim Kanievsky, assume that this halacha comes from our perek. The Rambam says in Perek Gimel, Vilchos Malachim, that when a king inflicts punishment, he has wide-ranging rules. Yesh l'melech reshus laharog osam ul'taken ha'olam kfi ma'ashah shashah tzarich. Whatever the door needs. V'horeg rabim b'yom echad. He could kill many people on one day. Right? Unlike a bezdin. V'tole u'meinichan tzluyim yamim rabim. And he can leave them for many days. Lahatel ema v'lishbor yad rishay ha'olam. To instill fear and to break the hands of the wicked and to make a Kiddush Hashem. So David HaMelech, maybe he could have taken them down, but maybe he dafka didn't because of this. This is also having the Kiddush Hashem that was made possible. But that's the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the end of Perek Gimel. So what happens? They're hanging up, and then the Navi describes how the mother of one of them, Rizpah Bas Aya, is there. David hears about her Mesiras Nefesh for these, and he takes it as a simon. You know what? I better come. Vayelav David, Vayikach, and David not only takes these bodies down, but he gets the bones of Shaul and Yehonasan from Yavish Gilad, who have been there this whole time. And what does he do? Vayal Misham et Asmos Shaul, et Asmos Yehonasan Beno, Vayasvo et Asmos Hamukan. Vayikbaru et Asmos Shaul v'Yonasan Beno be'Eres Binyamin. He buries them in Eres Binyamin, in their land, in the kever of Kish Aviv, Vayasu Kol Asher Tziva HaMelech. And everybody did what the king commanded. What is that adding? What do you mean, what they do? So Rashi quotes the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah that they took around the bones and they had a spadim throughout the land. The Medrash says, Umat Tziva HaMelech, Tziva Lios Ma'avirim Arono Shel Shol, B'kol Shevet V'Shevet, V'haya Shevet Shai Nichnas Bo Arono Shel Shol, Yotzim Heim, Unesheim, Uvenayim, Uvenoseim, V'golmim Chesedim Shol Ubanav. The whole family went out. Kedei sheyetzu kol Yisrael yidei chov an gemilas chasadim at shabo la'aretz achuzas l'gvul Yerushalayim. The first king of Israel, they had a show covered to. Even though obviously what he did in the second half of his kingdom was very fraught with problems, but he was the first king. He didn't want to be king in the first place, but either way, so they had all of these hespedim, and then finally, Vayeaser Elokim la'aretz achareichen. Hashem was ne'atar. Hashem listened to the tefilos, and Hashem made it rain. Why wasn't there, asked some of the Mefarshim, why didn't this Rav take place earlier in the time of Shaul? Why did Hashem wait? Dafka, his descendants, do it earlier, soon after. It could be they explained that Am Yisrael couldn't have survived. Hashem knew that Bnei Yisrael couldn't have survived a famine at that time. Now they were stronger, now they were more established, so now they could survive, but earlier they wouldn't have been able to. Okay, now we get to the second half of the parak. The four little wars with the Plishtim. We don't know if it's little, it's recorded little. And again, it's a machlokes whether these took place at various times throughout David's Malchus, maybe even before David's Malchus, or like the Abarbanel says, that it took place everything in order. Vadiyot Malchama LaPlishtim, what was unique about these four, why they put all together? Because they're giants. They're fighting. Yishbi Benov is the first one. Asher B'yilidei HaRafa. Rafa is like a giant. They say, who is Rafa? Arpa. Arpa had two sons. One of them was Goliath. One of them was Arpa. One of them was Yishbi Benov. There's an amazing story in Sanhedrin Daf Sadiheh that this puts in a lot of color into the psukim here. The psukim just say that David felt weak and he was in danger, and Avishai ben Tsruya comes and helps him and kills the Plishti. That's all. And then they decide, David, you're not going out to war anymore. Right? We don't want the Ner Yisrael to be extinguished. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadiheh in Chelek describes how David went off by himself into a forest, and Yishbi Benov was going to kill him, and he threw David up in the air, and he put his sword underneath, and David was going to fall on the sword, and just at that time, Avishai, who was on the other side of the Malchus, was in the shower, and he sees red drops in the shower, and he's like, oh, David must be in danger. He gets the horse, and he runs, and he has kvitzas aderach to David, and he sees David in midair about to fall on the knife, and he says Shem Hashem, and David stops in midair. He gets him down with Shem Hashem, and Yishbi Benov starts running after them, and finally they, at the end of the day, are able to kill Yishbi Benov. First they killed Arpa, and then they point that out to Yishbi, who's like all upset that his mother died, and they're able to kill Yishbi Benov. But it's an amazing, amazing story that's added into these seamless, dry psukim. But they take care of Yishbi Benov. And then they have another giant that they take care of, Sivchai HaChushasi, and another one called Golias Hagiti. Is this the same Golias? But Golias was killed by David. Here it says Elchanan killed Golias. Unless Rashi says Elchanan is another name for David. Elchanan, Hashem was Chanan. If not, it was a different Golias. And then you have one more described in the end of the Perek, another giant that had 6 digits on every hand and foot, 24 digits altogether. Amazing. And Yehonasan ben Shimma, the brother of David, was able to overpower. So these 4 were all overtaken by David and his servants. That's the end of the story here in Perek Chaf Aleph.